Fee approval may not be needed if the purpose of establishing the trust was unrelated to any claim before SSA. Quote, though SSA may need to obtain an explanation from the representative if there is a question about the purpose of the trust. What does that mean? Okay, most SNTs have a purpose of qualifying a person for present or future SSI, Medicaid, right? How far in the future? We have no idea. So those are the three main examples that are controversial. There's a example six has to do with preparing tax returns, and I'm going to leave that to Stacy because she has some interpretation of that I didn't really catch. And now Stacy's going to tell us about this three-month period of surreal activity between the time they enacted it and the time they archived it, and then we'll get back to some other issues.
Great. So first, I just want to say thank you for having me here. I am not a special needs trust lawyer. I've learned a lot this morning. When I was representing people directly, I was doing it through legal services, and relatively few of my clients ever saw enough money to consider a special needs trust. When things happened that led us to consider it, for example, an inheritance or a large back award, we were very grateful that there was a pooled trust that we could refer people to get good advice. But it's been great to learn more about it and to have gotten a little bit into this world through these palms. Maybe that's the one bright spot that these palms have given me, at least. So I will say, I first heard about this pretty soon after it happened from one of our NOSCR members who is very diligent and who handles a lot of what I would call weird cases. Cases that involve survivor's benefits, disabled adult child benefits, sort of unusual things that are happening post-eligibility. He doesn't typically take the case of somebody who was just denied disability benefits because they didn't meet the medical standard. So he takes these weird cases, and I'm really grateful that he does, and as a result, he monitors the palms very closely. And so I heard about it through him right around the 4th of July, so about a week or so after they were published. And then soon after that, by policy people at NALA and the Special Needs Alliance, who I know from the Consortium for Citizens with Disabilities Social Security Task Force. And they asked me to get involved for two reasons. One is that NOSCR has members who either are also special needs trust lawyers or who refer cases to special needs trust lawyers and work with them on cases where there is an S&T. And then the second reason is because NOSCR has some expertise in fee authorization issues. Now, I told you I worked in legal services, so I am super lucky. I never had to file a fee petition. I never had a fee agreement. I just got paid, win or lose. So that was wonderful. But NOSCR as an organization has members both in legal services and private practice. And as a result, I've gotten to learn more, and we have a staff attorney who knows a lot more about fee issues. It's been a journey for me in helping a lot of our members with delayed fee petitions. Social Security told us that we could ask their headquarters for help after a variety of different hurdles had been overcome and that the fee petition had been pending for 9 months or more. They don't even consider it delayed until it's been sitting for 9 months. So the folks at NALA and the Special Needs Alliance thought that I would be useful in communicating how hard it is to get fees authorized and what that process is like. And so they thought that I would be useful as part of their advocacy team, not because I knew so much about special needs trusts, but because I knew about fee authorization. What I was able to basically say is this process is very messy. It's very complicated. It's very time-consuming. Lawyers hate it, and a lot of people at SSA hate it too, and that it seems unlikely that SSA wanted to do a lot more of it, or at least that the frontline staff at SSA wanted to do a lot more of this work. So taking you back to a simpler time, let's say June 2019, before June 26th, though we're in early June, life is good. I think if you'd asked us at that time, when do I need to seek fee authorization, we actually kind of thought we knew the answer to that. In fact, Connie had written a really nice paper on it in 2017. Back in 2000, there was a letter. Back in 2016, there was an email that kind of gave a sense of what we thought was going on here. We knew that there was law on this issue. The Social Security Act says that Social Security's commissioner can prescribe the maximum fees which may be charged for services performed in connection with any claim. And we all kind of thought we knew what that meant. We looked at the regulations. They define representative. And all of this is beautifully laid out in Connie's materials and in the Kevin Urbach paper that's part of the material. So I'm not going to try and reinvent the wheel. Read their materials. They're so good. We kind of knew from the regulations what a representative was. Someone whom you, meaning the claimant or eligible spouse, appoints to represent you in dealings with us being SSA. Okay, we thought we knew what that meant. We thought we knew what a claimant was because POMS defines it.